Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we study God's word, that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us and teach us new things that we have not yet learnt from the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last month in Mark's Gospel, we learnt about the rejection of Jesus in his hometown. We also discovered that the disciples were being prepared by Jesus for rejection. And finally, we were given a living example of the result of that rejection when John the Baptist was beheaded. And we discovered from the scriptures that most people reject the gospel because they're not willing to repent of their sins. We also found out last month that a major concern for people is actually pressure from other people in their lives. We discovered that people normally fear other people more than they fear God. We discovered that the life of King Herod was actually a typical example. And in verse 30, we're told that the apostles returned from their preaching tour and told Jesus all that they had done and taught. It was like a debriefing at the end of a mission trip. In verse 31, we discover that Jesus was very familiar with how draining ministry in the power of Jesus can be. When you start ministry in any given day, you're like a sponge that's full of water. And gradually, as you give out your ministry, it goes out little by little until you're left with nothing more to give. And this is why Jesus said, "Come aside to a deserted place and rest a while." Jesus was trying to encourage the disciples to recharge their batteries before they went out for ministry. There was only one problem. The crowd would not leave Jesus and the disciples alone. They followed them. At least they did get a restful ride on the boat in Galilee, something that I was enjoying some time ago when I went to Galilee. It's a lovely, relaxing ride on a boat across the lake. They got that, but when they got to the other side, they were expecting a rest, and Jesus was expecting a rest too. Remember, Jesus was fully human as well as fully God. And in verse 34, Jesus saw the crowd of people coming towards him, and the text tells us that he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus began teaching them many things. At the end of the day, he was left with 5,000 men and nothing to feed their physical bodies. In verse 37, we're told that Jesus challenged the disciples to feed them. The disciples' answer was to send them away to buy their own food. The disciples only looked upon human alternative, but Jesus forced them to look towards the supernatural. And in verse 38, Jesus asked the disciples if there was any food available. They found 5 loaves and 2 fish. And these loaves were no bigger than the butter rolls you can buy from 7-Eleven or the Family Mart. And the fish would have been only small, little sardine-style small fish. Well, Jesus looked up to heaven. He blessed this small amount of food, broke it open, and then fed 5,000 people. And he had 12 baskets of scraps left over. What a wonderful miracle it must have been to witness these small loaves and fish just being broken and broken and 5,000 people being fed. After everyone had been fed, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on their own to the other side of the lake. And Jesus sent the crowd away to their homes. And after this, Jesus went and departed to a mountain to pray. He was tired and he needed rest and he needed time with his Father God. The disciples were rowing across the lake at evening time. It was dark. They were having a hard time. It was in the middle of the night. And Jesus, being God in human form, observed their hardships, trying to row against the wind. And Jesus walked out onto the water to encourage them. The disciples thought that Jesus was a ghost and they cried out in fear. And Jesus saw they were afraid, so he came near them and encouraged them with these words, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Jesus then joined the disciples in the boat and suddenly the wind ceased. The disciples were absolutely amazed about this event. However, Mark closes this section in verse 52 by telling us that the disciples had not understood about the loaves because their hearts were hardened. We're going to look at that in a moment. There are two key points, and I'm going to be brief this morning because of communion and our baby dedication. There are two key points that I want to draw out of this story. And the first key point is that Jesus is the shepherd who has come to rescue his sheep. Verses 31 to 34. I'll just read it to you. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together." Verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion, because he saw they were like sheep, not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things." First thing we need to do is to go back to the Old Testament and look at the prophecy in the book of Ezekiel. I want to read this prophecy in Ezekiel to you, Ezekiel chapter 34, 1 to 17. "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and the clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. Thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I'll make them lie down, says the Lord God." When sheep lie down, I mean they're totally satisfied. They've eaten everything they can. "I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken in strength that was sick, but I'll destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep and ram and goats." So this prophecy, thousands of years beforehand, the passage in Ezekiel highlights irresponsible shepherds in verses 1 to 10. And then verses 11 to 16, the prophecy is about God, the true shepherd. And there are four key things that we need to note about the true shepherd. Ezekiel 34 verses 11 says, "The true shepherd will search for his sheep and seek them out." Secondly, the true shepherd will feed them in good pasture and make them to lie down. Sheep will only lie down if they're totally at peace, they're totally fed, and they're not afraid. Sheep are very vulnerable animals. Thirdly, the true shepherd will seek the lost and bring them back and strengthen those people who are broken. And finally, the true shepherd will judge between the sheep and the sheep and the ram and the goats. Now, the prophecy from Ezekiel tells us that it is God himself who is the true shepherd. So when Jesus declared that he saw the crowds as sheep without a shepherd, he was intimating that he was the great shepherd that Ezekiel prophesied about, thereby declaring himself to be God. That's the important thing to note, that Jesus Christ declaring himself as God and fulfilling the prophecy made by the prophet Ezekiel. So the first thing we discover is that a sheep without a shepherd cannot find their way. Left to ourselves, we're the sheep, we will get spiritually lost in our lives. We can get caught up in a world that is trying to make sense of life, but they've thrown away the guidebook. Most people who are searching in life today for the meaning of life are trying to make sense of life, but they've destroyed the Bible. They're not interested. And we live in a world that promises lots of things. If you have the money in Japan, you can buy anything you like. But the answer to the human heart is never money. The problem with the human heart is that it is sinful by nature. So I want to challenge you this morning. Have you lost your way in life? Are you still searching for the meaning to life? Are you searching for the things that money can buy? Perhaps you are a sheep without a shepherd. The answer is to come to Jesus and to repent of going your own way and search the guidebook for answers to life. The Bible is the guidebook to life. So sheep without a shepherd just can't find their way. You'll never find any fulfillment in life without Jesus. I'll guarantee that. That's the only guarantee I can give you this morning, is that your heart will never be satisfied except in Jesus. Secondly, a sheep without a shepherd cannot find pasture. You see, sheep are very dumb animals, and they will graze on the same bit of grass until they've eaten everything, roots and all. They are not capable of finding new grass in another area unless a shepherd leads them to that place. And it's the same idea with people. If we're not feeding on Jesus and his word, the Bible, then you're going to come away spiritually empty. You may be able to go for entertainment, but you will never be fed in your soul unless you're reading the Bible. And the things of this world promise so much, but they deliver so little. Many people say, if I could only have lots of money, then I'll be happy. Well, it might surprise you to know that I've met some of the richest people around the world, and they are the most miserable people that I've ever met. They are not happy. The reason that they're not happy is that their money and the things that the money can buy is unable to satisfy the real need of their hearts. Their life on the outside may seem good, but their soul is dry like a desert. The Bible tells us that the only person who will ever satisfy your mind and your heart and your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verses 48 says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Bread is a staple diet. It was in those days. You couldn't survive without bread, and you can't survive spiritually in life without Jesus. There's an old song that reflects this truth, and I wish that God had given me the gift of music or singing. I'd love to sing it to you, and maybe one day we will, but I'll read the words to you. And they came to me very clearly as I was preparing this, so maybe somebody may remember it from a long time ago. It says, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. But none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearn for them, not thee. But while I passed my Saviour by, his love laid hold of me. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but ah, the waters failed. E'en as I stopped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. The pleasures lost, I sadly mourned, but never wept for thee, till grace thy sightless eyes received, thy loveliness to see. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Have you found Jesus Christ? If you have, you have life, you have joy, you have lasting peace. But if not, keep searching, because Jesus wants to find you. Thirdly, a sheep without a shepherd can't find their own way. A sheep cannot find pasture. And a sheep without a shepherd is in danger. Sheep on their own are very defenseless creatures. They have no protection against wild animals. Holes in the ground, falling down cliffs, rolling over and not being able to get back on its legs again. And it's exactly the same when you try to live your life without Jesus. You try to live your life without Jesus, and when the storms of life come, you have absolutely nothing to hang on to. When the creator of this world becomes your savior and friend, you don't need to fear anything in life, not even death. We may worry about the process of dying, but as a Christian, we don't worry about the future in heaven. The second thing that I would like to focus on in our text is a very challenging verse in verse 52. The miracle of Jesus walking on the water is recorded by Mark, but he is more concerned about the fact that the disciples missed the point about the loaves. Let me read it to you. Verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. So these disciples were there. They witnessed the situation with feeding 5,000 people from just a few loaves and some fishes, but they didn't get it. They were there with Jesus, but they didn't get it. Jesus wanted the disciples to perceive something crucial in the miracle about the loaves and the feeding of 5,000 people. And although the disciples didn't understand the truth that Jesus was teaching them, we must understand the truth today, because we've come a long way. We can look at the Bible in its entirety. We can look at the Gospels in their entirety. Firstly, we must go to John's Gospel, chapter 6. I won't read the whole chapter. I'll focus upon what was happening after the feeding of the 5,000 that John records. A discussion took place between Jesus and the crowd, which implied that the feeding of the 5,000 miracle is likened to Moses supplying the manna bread in the wilderness to the tribes of Israel. So I just want to read John chapter 6, verses 29 to 40. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So what are you going to do, Jesus? Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, there are things taught in Mark's account of this miracle that are not taught in the other parallel accounts in the other Gospels. So we need to take note of it. Firstly, Mark's account emphasizes that this feeding took place in a deserted place. The location is mentioned three times in verses 31, 32, and 35. And we know that the art of teaching, if we want somebody to get it, we repeat it over and over again. And Mark repeats the deserted place because he wants to teach us something. So through this, Mark may have drawn some parallel between this miracle and the supply of the manna bread in the desert. Secondly, Mark connects the prayers of Moses and the prophecy of Ezekiel with Jesus. We don't need to look up these verses, but they're on the handout sheet. Numbers 27, 15 to 17, where Moses prays that God would send a leader to shepherd his people. And in Ezekiel, God promised to send a king like David to shepherd his people. So the illustration to these Old Testament passages by Mark suggests to the reader, that is us today, that Jesus is fulfilling the role of the longed-for King of Israel, the Messiah, who, like Moses, teaches the people and feeds the people. And the third thing we notice is that Jesus commanded that the people sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, the same way that Moses organized the people of God in the desert. Because none of these details are seen in any of the other parallel accounts, we can be sure that Mark does not want us to miss these incidents. It's not just a miracle. Mark wants us to notice the prophetic significance of the miracle. And the way that Mark portrays the events describes Jesus clearly as the Messiah. Mark wants us to know today that Jesus is the Messiah. He was the one that provided all the food. The disciples missed the point of who Jesus really was. They missed the point of who Jesus really was. Now, we mustn't miss the point of who Jesus is today. The Bible is all about Jesus. Read the Bible and you can cut it anywhere and it bleeds with redemption blood. The Bible is all about Jesus. And our lives should focus upon Jesus and upon the gospel that connects us to Jesus. And as we come to our communion today, we're going to focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God of the Bible who became man in order to die on a cross for our sins. And whatever happens today, don't miss that point. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. And he is our shepherd. May Jesus reveal himself today to you, and may you desire to worship and follow him. Let's pray.